Greetings, everyone, and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League show. And joining me here at League Express Towers on a Wednesday lunchtime, we're joined once again by Mr. Aaron Bauer.
Hi, mate.
iTunes Store sensation.
Yes.
Martin Sadler's here.
Hi.
And back once again from his holidays, it's Mr. Matthew Shaw.
Hello, hello, hello.
So hello everybody and welcome to this week's show. A look back at last weekend's Challenge Cup ties shortly, as well as a preview for this weekend's matches back in Super League. We're also going to be talking the Championship and Rugby League in Manchester, as we're going to be joined by Swinton Lions chairman Andy Maisie. But before that, it's to Craven Park and to Hull KR.
Oh my God.
Tim Sheens. I mean, this is Wednesday lunchtime. Well, Wednesday morning actually. It's 11 o'clock we're recording this. Who knows what's going on at Craven Park at the moment? Anybody? Anybody
don't
wants
think
to
even,
be brave?
And I think Neil Hudgell is probably the only person who actually knows what's going on. Me and Aaron are afraid to hide away from this. We put out on Tuesday that it was gone. We were told reliably by various sources it was gone.
Yeah.
And then all the other journalists started to say, yep, he's gone. Yet here we are, and Tim Sheens still seemingly hasn't gone. So clearly there's something. I mean, we'll know for sure, won't we, come tomorrow, because their press conference is due.
Yes.
But
it'll be in it.
I would still be staggered if Tim Sheens turns up for that press conference.
Well, it's what it is, isn't it? If things have changed, then you hold your hands up and you've got it wrong. It's the nature of the beast. It's the name of the game that we're in. You know, something's changed. As Matt has said, we put the story out together on Monday. We were in close contact about it, and we both had people say, "Yeah, he's gone, or he's on, he's about to go." The fact that Hull KR aren't refuting it is pretty damning for me. I think that speaks volumes.
A few things to point out here, just touching on what Aaron said. Normally, as a journalist, if you get a story wrong, you've got a lot of angry people who were involved.
The club ringing you within
saying
minutes.
You're talking absolute nonsense. There has not been any of that. Hull KR, to all the journalists that have contacted them, have not denied that he is leaving.
The one thing they did deny was that there was a meeting on Monday, which apparently was cancelled at the last minute. But apart from that, like Matt says, they've just straight-batted absolutely everything. And they are, and you know, like Matt says, the fact they're not denying it for me is...
I think what's interesting though is, has he done a really bad job there?
No,
you know, I don't think you could say that.
I think what you would say, his remit for year one was to get him back to Super League. Mm. He took him back to Super League. Mm. His remit in year two was to keep them up,
make them safe.
And the reality of the situation was, in the off season, we were all saying Hull KR have recruited really well. You know, they brought in Kane Lynette, which was a great signing. Josh Drinkwater was seen as a good signing. They brought in Tompkins mid-season. They brought in Mitch Garbutt, Jimmy Kynehorst. Everyone expected them to push on, and they haven't. Yeah, so you would say that his remit for this year was to move them up the league, and he hasn't done that.
They did actually start the season, didn't they, with that thrilling win against Hull FC.
Great
last seconds victory, which was certainly kept Tim Sheens going for quite a while.
But even at Magic, there were frailties in them. You know, a decent team, the way Salford performed that day, a decent team would have put Salford away before half time, and Rovers still made heavy weather of it. They've got this trait in them that they just seem to make it ridiculously hard for themselves on occasions.
I mean, I've said on this show a couple of times now, it's sort of been disagreed with. I think they are the weakest team in the competition.
They're not.
No, I wouldn't have said that.
I think they are.
They're not.
I'm not saying that on paper they are, but I think in terms of performance levels, I think they are the weakest team in Super League.
Well, they've got a big game this weekend against Wigan, haven't they?
We'll come back to that, Martin. But TotalRL.com, the place to go to for all the breaking news with regards to the World
Rugby
League.
Froggy dodgy coach.
we'll wait and see what happens in the coming hours, days, maybe even minutes.
Oh,
anyway,
God, as long as it's not weeks.
Let's just touch upon the Challenge Cup, because Matthew's got a smile on his face, and we do need to address it quickly. But before that, just to mention for Hull KR and that match that they had with Warrington.
Yeah.
Bit of an odd game. Warrington going down to 11 men in that match, and Hull KR really didn't kick in till towards the end.
I think if... that proved to be Tim Sheens' last game. It was a fitting epitaph for the Tim Sheens' reign, particularly the last 18 months. A lot of promise, a lot of potential, but ultimately just falling short, failing to get the job done. There's quality in that Rovers team, but that obviously that period where Warrington were down to 12 men for, 15 minutes and 11 men for 5 minutes and Rovers couldn't get anything over was pretty telling in the end. And it obviously proved to be the difference. Yeah. And you saw the difference, I think, between a top team and a lower team in that, you know, Warrington certainly weren't at their best, but they had the capability to get over the line and win a knockout game. Rovers, not quite at that level yet.
The Saints Warrington final is on, potentially.
They've got to get through Halifax first, Ben.
Yeah, and Warrington have to get through Hull. Hull got through by beating last year's winners of the Challenge Cup, Catalans, who didn't really turn up, and Hull did, which...
Hull are just ridiculous. Hull are absolutely ridiculous. How do you go from being thumped by Huddersfield to thumping Catalans in the space of... they played on the Saturday, didn't
5 days.
It's just ridiculous.
Hull, would you put it past them beating Warrington now in the semi-final?
Because they're a big game team. They're a big game team. I think they might actually beat Warrington.
Nothing would surprise me ever with them.
In fact, I retract that. I don't know whether they will beat Warrington. It depends what Hull turns up, doesn't it? And you just can't tell from 1 week to the next.
Well, the fact is, though, isn't it, that Mark Snead is a real big game player. And when he's on, his kicking game is absolutely immense, in my opinion. He showed it in that game at Catalans a few weeks ago when, you know, they won the Golden Point game, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was magnificent by Snead. If they turn up with Snead, Kelly and Connor really playing well and combining well, as we know they can do, they'll give Warrington an awful lot of trouble in that game. It's a real game to look forward to, isn't it?
I think...
Yeah, why is it the first game?
Because it's on BBC One.
Okay.
And the second game is on BBC Two.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
So,
fair
you know, enough. It'll get the big Makes audience, okay. I think, basically.
I think with Snead, I'm a big fan of Snead, but I still think he struggles, like many halfbacks do, behind a losing pack more than other halfbacks do. When he's in range with his kicking game, because his pack's put the platform down for him, he's as good as anyone. But
if his pack is struggling, they won't win, but I think that's... true in most rugby league games, isn't it?
Agreed.
And the real big question mark for Hull is whether they've got the pack to cope with Warrington, because Warrington do have a good pack. And I just don't see Hull's pack as being quite in their class, really.
Well,
that's why I think Warrington will win.
Well, certainly a semi-final sort of photo, as we all said there. The other semi-final is going to be a very, very interesting one. Saints... I mean, I can't keep asking you the same question week in, week out, but can anyone stop St Helens this season?
Well,
apart from Halifax.
Halifax won't be able to, I don't think, unfortunately. If they play, again, it's very much like the Hull debate, isn't it? If they turn up in a semi-final and perform how they performed in the quarter-final, no one's beating them. Similarly, if they turn up to Wembley and play like they did in the quarter-final, nobody's beating them. They play such a high-risk brand of rugby. I think there was a period of... about 15 minutes at the start of the second half when Wakefield had scored the first try and Saints were really turning over the ball quite cheaply. And I think a few Saints fans were getting a little bit restless, but then you know, once it clicks again and it comes back together, some of the tries they scored, it's just a joy to watch. It's very reminiscent of Castleford 3 years ago, that they play to score as many points as humanly possible. They don't, they don't try and grind games out. They try and blow teams off the park, and they certainly did that on Saturday.
What impresses me with Saints... there's certain teams, if they're put under pressure for a set, they then have what you call an exit set, and it's low risk, and they slow the game down, give themselves a breather, and whatnot. Saints don't do that. They're just on you all the time. So you talk about the stress on your opponents and how, you know, they never get a chance to lay off. You might have a set as a defending team where you've put a good attacking set in, and they don't throw much at you, and it's easy to defend, and your stress levels go down, and the pressure on you. Saints don't give you that ever. They are always posing questions all the time, and just where's you at? Just overawes teams. They are utterly fantastic.
And the bad news is, Matthew, that I was talking to Eamon McManus, the St Helens chairman, yesterday, and he was saying they're going to take the challenge from Halifax very seriously indeed. They're going to prepare as though Halifax have got a real chance of beating them, which, you know...
I think many would debate.
Bad news for Halifax, I would think.
I think I got this from your column, actually, Martin. St Helens haven't been to Wembley since 2008.
That's right, yes.
And it's crazy.
And I think I heard on another show, Warrington and St Helens haven't met each other in a Challenge Cup for...
I've been told
donkey's years.
I've been told they've never played in a league or cup final. as in that is
that's
league or
it?
Challenge Cup. They've played in, I don't know, John Player or Lancashire Cup or whatever, but they've never played in a Challenge Cup or a league final.
Wow.
And of course, Hull and Halifax will say, and they won't this year either.
Yeah.
That does take us to Halifax. Were you there? Oh, you were commentating, weren't you?
What sort of question
you
is
were
that?
Commentating. You were commentating for Radio Leeds, weren't you? And where does this rank on the results for Halifax since
on a wider scale, on a larger scale? It's probably the best achievement the club has achieved since 1998 when they finished third in Super League. I'd say they won the Championship Grand Final in 2010, but I think making a Challenge Cup semi final. Beating a Super League team on the way, a lot of people seem to forget that they did beat London, and then to top it all off by winning a quarter final that not many, I thought people wrote them off unfairly.
They've beaten Bradford on paper.
I felt like Halifax had a stronger team than Bradford, but people just seem to think, I don't know whether they bought into the novel of Bradford that they would just win.
It was the John Keir factor, wasn't it? People thought
and the
John
home advantage
get his team through. But, yeah.
But for me, yeah, it is the club's biggest achievement in 21 years. And Simon, I'm glad Simon Gritz came out and said this is our final now, rather than try to make out there might just be even a glimmer of hope that they could win. I think the players know as well.
Where does this take Halifax? Because I spoke to Christian Lister last week, and there is a bit of thinking ahead and that kind of thing. That perhaps this is the, like we said with Bradford, it's the next step on the road to getting back.
I think there's a wider issue here as well, because you know, I went into a news agent's on Monday morning in the wilds of North Yorkshire, and the guy there knows that I'm a rugby league person, and he said, you know, my God, he said, I watched that game on TV yesterday, and it was absolutely fantastic, you know, absolutely great game. And I think a lot of people will have watched that game and come to the same conclusion. And it's really important, isn't it? Because it was a game between two Championship sides. Incredibly exciting. Played at a pretty high level of skill and commitment.
Second half was. And first half was dull.
You know, it will have turned people on, and it shows that the Championship has got something to offer. I think that's the important thing. And, you know, given we're talking about TV contracts from 2022, you know, that game should be a prime piece of, you know, evidence for the RFL as to how compelling Championship Rugby League can be.
Well, we'll cover the Championship and we'll be discussing more about that impending TV deal later, and we've got Andy Maisie coming on from the Swinton Lions. But the Challenge Cup is now put to bed for about 8 weeks.
That's the shame of it.
Yeah.
It is a shame.
It is a shame.
But it'll be returning live from Bolton on the BBC, and it's a triple header as well, because the Women's Challenge Cup final will be also taking place. That'll be on the red button. Then it's the Hull Warrington match, and then it's Halifax against St Helens. So something to look forward to. But like we said, it's just a shame that you can't keep the momentum going. Really,
I feel like 3-4 weeks would be better, wouldn't you?
Well, two weeks would be better. Keep the momentum up.
It's a massive distraction.
Have Challenge Cup rounds every 2 weeks. That's the obvious solution, isn't it?
Well, like we said, we'll come back to the Challenge Cup in later weeks. But the Super League returns this weekend. Not on Thursday, though.
Yeah.
Why isn't it on Thursday?
Because England play the Netherlands on Thursday night in the Nations League semis. So Super League, wisely, have switched the Warrington Catalans game from Thursday to Saturday, when there's no football.
So
I think that's fair enough.
The first TV game of the round occurs on Friday night, and it's Wakefield against Leeds. We started off talking about Tim Sheens and you know what's going on at Hull KR.
Maybe he's going to get the Leeds job now.
He's gone very quiet at Leeds, hasn't it, on that front?
Well, unless you're Callum Watkins.
I've got Callum Watkins written down here, but I was focused on the head coach stuff.
Kevin Sinfield and Gary Etherington, or whoever's making the decisions, are comfortable with Richard Agar being in charge.
He
doesn't want the job. This is the madness of the situation.
But Gary has always liked Richard Agar,
which is fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he should be the head coach, because he doesn't want it. He's made it abundantly clear.
But decisions are being carried out, like we said there. Callum Watkins is on his way.
But Agar is very much part of the staff, isn't he, at Leeds, and he will be whoever comes in next. That's the thing. So those decisions are probably being made with Richard in mind.
But when you see the coaching staff at a game now, you've got Sinfield sitting next to Egger, and they both look very comfortable with each other.
I think it's increasingly likely that Egger's going to be the coach for the rest of the season.
Yeah, maybe. I think so. Especially if they won at Wakefield this Friday night.
And without, you know, throwing London off of a bridge, they're not going to beat St Helens, are they? So the gap then doubles, and you know it becomes safe for Leeds then. But
are they going
to
be?
Well, we actually interviewed Matt Parcell in League Express this week, and I know players tend to talk up coaches, but he said some very nice things about Richard Agar, you know, and said he's sort of got the players together and so on and so forth.
But it was you who said when Richard Agar was appointed an interim charge that, you know, a lot of the players...
Oh, he's very well respected by players. Yeah, he's knowledgeable, he's experienced, he's a very great, you know, very interesting guy to speak to off the record. If you have a conversation with him about rugby league, you find yourself actually quite fascinating.
You learn a lot. You actually learn quite a lot, don't you, from Richard? He's technically very, very smart.
Never spoke to him before he took this post, but I've spoke to him a fair bit since, and I think he's a tremendous guy.
Yes, I agree.
But the performances haven't improved. Yes, they beat London. Could anyone tell me that they honestly believe Leeds have improved under Richard Agar?
No. But I think this season has now become one about finishing 11th, which is damning for a club of Leeds' stature, but I think this season is now about getting over the line and regrouping with a new face in charge for next season.
Well, as I say, this Friday's game is going to be a real marker.
I don't know.
It's a big game for Wakefield as well. Should say congratulations to Lee Kershaw getting a year extension on his contract. That's cracking stuff for a young lad who was just playing at Oldham earlier in the season. Mm. What do we think for this one with Wakefield needing to keep in touch with the playoff players?
Wakefield at home, it is Wakefield's big game, isn't it? The Leeds game is the one they really look forward to. I think Fifita will be back, I think. With Brough playing as well, I'd probably nudge towards Wakefield, I think, just.
Probably, but they had a hard game at St Helens. Leeds had a free weekend.
Yeah.
You know, but what impact does that have?
But I think, I don't think they were poor. It sounds ridiculous to say given the scoreline, but I don't actually think they were that poor at at St Helens.
No, they were just very good with Saints.
I think Saints would have done that to anyone, so
I think the big thing for me with Leeds is if they've actually improved, because this has been the longest spell that Richard Agar's been able to
get some ideas into them. Yeah.
If they haven't improved now, then it's already a massive, massive concern. I think you are writing off London way too quick.
We'll come back to London shortly because they've got a big game this weekend as well. There is a chance for Wakefield to leapfrog over their near neighbours Castleford Tigers this weekend. On Friday, Castleford hosting Huddersfield Giants.
That's a huge game.
Huddersfield with a chance of getting right up and close to the playoff positions.
I don't know. I think I'd have preferred to have seen that on the telly, actually.
Yeah, I would. Huddersfield 2 points off the playoffs. Where have they come from?
Kudge's back in training as well, isn't he?
Yep, he's been there for a while. I think he's been out for a long time, had a lot of problems, and it's just more of a confidence thing now in his knee. I don't think he's far off.
Are you going to leave out Jacob Wardle, I suppose?
Yeah, you think so?
Turner and Kudja in the centres,
I mean, when Kudja came back last year, it coincided, along with Wolford, of course, them really improving because they started to get the best out of McGill.
It's as good as a new signing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd play Kudja at Castleford if I were the coach.
He won't play this week.
From what we're saying in League Express, it's like a slow...
Yeah.
He's back in training, but I don't think we're going to see him for, you know, the next couple of weeks.
There's only one man that matters in that Huddersfield team. Lee Gaskell. If he plays there.
There's a few.
I was going to say, the interview with Jermaine McGilvery in Rugby League World was a good one, I thought, as well. So
nice guy. He's just quality guy, isn't
he? He's a great guy.
We'll give a good plug to Rugby League World later in the show, but a good interview there. I mean, Castleford are on the...
I think this is a really hard game to predict, if we're honest about it, isn't it?
Cass at home. Yeah. That pitch. They know that pitch like the back of their hand.
Huddersfield have a decent record there, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I seem to recall they beat Cass quite easy there last year.
Nudge towards it.
But I agree with what you say. It's potentially the game of the weekend, isn't it?
Nudge towards Cass, I think. Home advantage, just.
And then there's Hull v Salford. in a game of
who knows?
Will they? Won't they? Who knows? For both teams,
this could literally
doesn't have the makings of a game with huge ramifications for Hull, does it? So in that sense, they'll probably lose by 80. But who knows? I can't even begin to predict what's going to happen with Hull anymore, unfortunately. So I'm just going to abstain.
Yeah, Salford have lost a lot of games narrowly, haven't they? You know, it's been a bit frustrating. It's a frustrating season for them. They could be much higher up the table than they are. So they won't want to lose narrowly at Hull, I wouldn't have thought. And but, you know, again, I think we might be seeing signs of Hull coming good at last this season. And as I say, much depends on the, you know, the triumvirate of Conor Kelly.
Martin, you say that the signs from coming good. It were only 2 weeks ago that they got battered by Huddersfield.
Yeah, but the last game they came good then, put it that way.
They've come
that
good. Was, that beat, was but, a sign. But the week before they got battered by Huddersfield, they beat Warrington. Mm. You just can't predict them.
Salford nearly beat St Helens and then get beat by Hull.
I think Lee Radford, quite honestly, would. Results obviously important and he'll want the win, but I think he'll take comfort from the fact if they just play well, because at least they've strung two decent performances together and have proved that they can do that.
Well, if they play well, they should win, shouldn't they? You would imagine, because they've got a lot of quality in that side.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Interesting chat you've had with Gareth Ellis potentially staying on for next season.
It's just ridiculous if he does. I mean, I think the level he's playing at, given he's had 18 months out, is remarkable. Those heavy defeats that Hull have had this year, he's not played in one of them. I think that's telling.
It is, isn't it?
I think that's telling.
He just gives leadership on the field, you know, which is really quite important. And maybe Hull don't have it when he's not on the field. Who knows?
And with regards to Salford, I think you did a piece, didn't you, on what the CEO said?
Yeah.
Because there was a bit of a concern that maybe Salford were not really thinking that far ahead, but clearly they are.
And
are looking to retain by... Yeah, well, in the squad with some other names as
Ian
well.
Ian Blaise said if they get the targets they want, they'll be happy with the squad next year than this year. And that's, you know, that's the way they're going to go about trying to convince Hastings to stay.
Do we need to give a bit more credit to Salford for what they've done post Kukan?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
of course.
I don't know what's happened at Salford the last week or two, but they are, in terms of recruitment, a hell of a lot more positive than they were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
In regards to retention and recruitment,
I think they're quite. I didn't get this from Ian Blaise, but I get the feeling that they're quietly confident they might be able to keep him for another year. Actually, time will tell. But I think they're of the opinion that if they can show the ambition that Hastings is himself having, then they can get him for another year.
There's a lot being said about Hastings at the minute. Wigan and Leeds are the two clubs that have been strongly linked.
Last year, Hastings stayed, well, largely out of loyalty to Salford. I don't want to question that, but Salford offered him a 1 year deal, which worked for him.
Yeah.
If he wants a 1 year deal again, I would imagine Salford are probably the only club that would throw that his way.
And he does like the place.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder whether he's had any offers from the NRL though.
I don't know.
That's the unknown quantity.
We know Wigan and Leeds have.
Yeah. But who have Salford definitely lost so far?
We believe Josh Jones have definitely lost. Yeah, Daryl Alfords. We believe Robert Louis they will have
Jake
lost as
Bibber.
Well. However, the Robert Louis thing becomes interesting with Tim Sheens thing, because we were all of the opinion that, well, they had him at West and then he got him at Salford and now he's on about taking him to Hull KR, which Tim Sheens isn't in charge. Is Rob Louis going to stick it up? He's got a young family who are very settled in Manchester by all accounts. Is he going to want to suddenly up sticks and take them to Hull? So that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
That might leave the door slightly ajar for Robert Louis to stay at Salford. Who knows?
Well, just one game, as we said earlier, on Saturday, and that's Warrington hosting Catalans.
Second v third.
Aaron,
right there.
Second v third. That's what I've written down there. Watford said after.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. Yes. I thought it said dry day.
No. Ding dong. I mean, it is a really important game for both clubs, really.
I tell you what, we're going to find out on Saturday afternoon how serious Catalans Dragons are in terms of title contenders. Because don't forget, we're all of the opinion that they can't win in England, which, let's be honest, even though I've said it this season, they won at Wembley last year, so that theory is gone now for me. But this would lay down a real marker to go to one of the top two and win. I know they're the only team that scouts St Helens, haven't they? And they did that in the south of France. But to go to one of the top two and win, wow, what a statement that's sending out.
I don't think you're saying no.
No. I'm not saying that they're not worthy of being third. because I think they probably are.
I think they are, yeah. They are the best of the rest.
But they aren't, for me, anywhere near Saints or Warrington.
They certainly weren't last weekend when they lost at Hull, were they?
And there's been too many games like that this
year. However, there have been recent frailties in Warrington. They were beaten at home by Hull. They made heavy weather of it against Hull KR in the Cup.
But like, they haven't been...
They missed Ratchford.
They haven't been hammered at home by Salford. They were beat at home by Salford, but they, you know,
Salford were magnificent for that day.
They've been hammered by Hull. For me, they got really easily beat by Wakefield earlier in the year. For me, a team that shows traits like that, that are on the wrong end of results like that semi-frequently, and not a champion side. So for me, while I do think Catalans are probably the third best team in Super League right now, I don't think they're anywhere near title contention.
I think they'll win.
Well, they are, but they are when they play well.
Yeah,
you know that's a,
like
what,
a lot.
What
of sides.
You're saying is they're inconsistent.
But
you've got to look at them at their best.
Like Hull,
and then say,
will
how
Catalans,
do they play when they're
if
at the
Catalans
best?
Are in the playoffs, will they beat three teams in the top five on the bounce? Because that's what they'll have to do.
Well,
no, they won't.
Them, yeah, probably who not. Knows? But
they won't because there's been no evidence this year that they can do that.
I'll ring Steve McNamara and tell him to go on holiday for 6 months. And if you think
I'm not saying that,
it's certainly been an interesting year for Catalan Dragons, as we've touched upon this
tremendous
show in recent weeks as well. And they've announced that they're now going to really drive home the idea of a supporters club in the UK to increase that mystical thing that chairman want, away support.
Well, and I imagine as well is. Part of that is that Steve is very keen for them to stay in England when they have short turnarounds and things like that. So they probably are looking for some sort of base in the UK. Mm-hmm. The other thing on Catalan, sorry, just before we moved on, that you could almost see a result like that coming at Hull in my eyes because they'd had a very big few weeks emotionally as well as physically. The new camp would have been an enormous occasion for everyone at the club to deal with. A lot of pressure on them to go there and put a performance on, which you could even argue they just about did. Then they went to Magic. That was a big game for them at Wakefield, at Anfield. So it was a very emotional, draining few weeks for them, I imagine. They were on the road a lot. So they've been back in France this week, haven't they? They'll come over, I imagine, Friday, stay over. So, you know, I think they'll come back refreshed. I think they'll come back good. But just on your point about them building up UK support, it's great. You know, if they can get a couple of hundred fans going to games regularly, I think that's fantastic. What it does financially, fiscally, you know, literally for the club, I don't know.
Well, marketing-wise and brand-wise, it does a lot, I suppose.
Yeah, it's doing things for the other clubs, isn't it? If they can take 200 fans, they wouldn't be going otherwise.
Well, Warrington have got a community day on Saturday, haven't they, which is well worthy of a mention as well. I think, is it like a quid a kid or something like that for all and any member of the seven junior clubs in the Warrington area, clubs like Latchford and stuff like that. So they're hoping for a big crowd. Good luck to them. I hope they get it. I think Castleford are doing something similar on Friday, kids for a quid. So good to see clubs doing that.
Just to touch on this, I think that clubs are really up in the game in this regard at the minute, and I talk Super League and Championship level. There just seems to be more of it going on.
Well, you know what the next step is now, having seen the crowds at the weekend, is that all clubs getting their heads together and agreeing a £10 adults, £5 juniors ticket bracket all the way through to the semi-finals in the Challenge Cup
for next season.
Yeah, because the cup crowds, look, it's a working class sport. You're asking people to part with a lot of money as it is. If you were asking a Halifax fan who'd only been to the Bash 2 or 3 weeks earlier, probably had a weekend away in Blackpool, you've then got to go and spend £20 to pay in at Bradford if you want to take the kids, you want to have a burger, a beer, a programme. It's an expensive day, so I truly think the clubs have got to get their heads together now and get some sort of ticket strategy in place for the Cup. £10 adults, £5 kids works for me fantastic.
There are some good things going on, though.
I think that's a great...
I know, just as Halifax, for an example, there's already six community clubs that have committed to taking coaches to the games, which is great to hear.
And this isn't a dig on Halifax because, the crowds were... I think, I'll be honest, I thought the crowds were poor all across the weekend. I actually expected more at Bradford. It was £20... on the day, I think it might have even been a little bit more for away fans, and the following from Halifax probably wasn't as great as I was expecting it to be.
I'd agree with that.
And I just wonder if you'd made it a tenner, the people of Bradford and Halifax would have probably come down and been convinced a little bit more to part with their money.
Would you have had an extra person per admission to make that?
I know what you mean, to make up the cost, but I think if all clubs agree from the start of the season, then you're not
the argument.
You know, you're not projecting. Financially.
Anyway, moving on to Sunday, London Broncos against St Helens. can't remember who said this. I think it might have been you that just said. Well, it's top of your bottom, isn't it? I think it was you last week who said, Aaron, that London Broadcast should just forget about this game and move on.
Yeah, pick and choose the battles. They should. I don't know who they've got next week, forgive me, but it'll be a damn sight.
Isn't it
a
whole KR?
Whoever it is, it's a damn sight more winnable than St. Helens at home, isn't it?
I think you'll never get a coach who will forfeit. I think I would be looking at this as a game to maybe try a few new things, to try and look at some key performance indicators and assess all that rather than...
Yeah, the point I was making was more that if, let's say theoretically, Jordan Abdul is carrying a knock and they've got Hull KR next week, don't play him. Don't even risk him. What's the point? Save him for the big games that matter.
Danny Ward's comments on the recruitment window I thought was quite interesting, and he's right, isn't he? Because
they can't recruit because they don't know where they're going to be.
Well, he's talking about the fact that half his squad's going elsewhere, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of clubs are in this position.
They can't recruit or retain. Then, in other words,
I mean, it is a weird one because I don't know of this happening in any other sport where you've basically got players in your dressing room who are committed to other clubs the following year at this stage of a season.
Happens in football.
Yeah.
Not on this scale.
Not on this scale, because there's a bigger player pool in football, I imagine. A lot of clubs are scrapping for the same players.
It's a tough one because obviously you've got player welfare. You can't expect players to stick around when they've no future set up till, say, September. I mean, the contracts run out. Is it end of November or end of October? Is it November 1st when they run out? November 1st. So you get to September, you've only got...
Oh, November 30th, sorry. I think
right, so you've by the end of the season for most clubs, like middle of September, they've only got like 6 weeks work left if you do it till then. And Danny Ward acknowledged that in his, you know, but maybe it could be pushed back a month.
But the fact is, there's no way to get over this problem if you're going to have promotion relegation. You just can't get over it. It's a problem that will always be there. The teams that are in danger of relegation will struggle both to retain and recruit players.
I think it's the way it is. The player pool's so small that if a player like an Alex Walker is at a club that are in with a chance of going down, there's going to be several clubs in for him because there just aren't enough players.
If you narrowed the window and made it really small, wouldn't that make it more interesting?
Like what, like a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then your players are going to get cast aside. You can't do it.
I understand Danny Ward's concerns. I actually really sympathise with him. He's right, but...
The solution is to start winning some games.
Well, I just don't think there's any alternative.
And the problem is, if you look at the league table now, let's say it was similar to that in 2 months' time, it's only the exact same problem. They still can't recruit because they still don't know what league they're going to be in. And this is why...
Everyone wanted promotion and relegation back, so this is a byproduct of it, unfortunately.
I'll tell you one thing. Just touching on what we were on about Salford and them seeming to be a bit more optimistic, they probably benefit from this three-way battle at the bottom.
Yeah, they do, because they look a more desirable option for players, don't they?
They do. So this is probably why they feel
Why should I commit to Hull KR when Salford are definitely in Super League?
It would be very, very interesting, wouldn't it, to know who they've targeted at Salford.
We will tell you one of them in next Monday's League Express.
I think they've got a loan move coming in as well, haven't they?
I don't know.
And finally, for this weekend's matches, Hull KR against Wigan.
I'm waiting to see if I get let in after the Tim Sheen fiasco. I am going. I'm just waiting to see if I've got...
He's paying in, though.
I've got my handwritten apology to Tim Sheen's printed out. I've got my hooded mask so I can be incognito. I'll have to pay in and sit in the terrace. I said right at the start, didn't I? Castle Dustfield's potentially the game of the weekend. And then we've since looked at Warrington, Catalans, and now Hull KR, Wigan. I mean... Wigan, it's still not out of this, I'm telling you.
Wigan,
how many points are Wigan on, Matt?
I'm not interested. Wigan are...
If Hull KR...
Wigan are playing too well to go down. It's not that they can't go down because of Wigan.
They're
4 points above the relegation zone, 4 points from the playoffs.
It's nothing to do with the size of the club.
So then they can't make the playoffs then, because they're 4 points off the playoffs as well. So if they can't go down...
They're more likely to make the playoffs and get relegated.
They probably are, but if Hull KR took them up on... stranger things have happened. Hull KR at home are not... I'm telling you, if Hull KR win on Sunday, the nerves will be jangling.
Joel Tompkins
will be banged up for it.
Do I think that Hull KR could beat Wigan on the day? Yeah. Yeah, but even if Hulkar win that game, I'd still not even accept the notion that Wigan.
Well, if Wigan win on Sunday, they'll be safe.
Yeah, I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit, but what I'm saying is, if Hulkar win on Sunday, the facts are that Hulkar, who were widely assumed to be, you said yourself, the worst team in. Did you say the worst team in Super League? Well, they'll be 2 points behind Wigan on Sunday. So by that logic, that Wigan are still in some semblance of trouble. I think they will
win
enough
games.
I'll
put a bet on with you that Wigan end the season nearer to the playoffs than they do to Hulk AR in terms of points.
I don't gamble. I'm afraid.
I know, because every time you do put a bet on, you don't give me the money because I always win.
Let's just have a quick championship roundup now and progress into the third round of the newly named AB Sundex 1895 Cup.
I mean, it doesn't fill you with confidence, does it? I think this is a great concept.
Before he gets to the final.
I think it's a fantastic concept.
I like the new logo. Very summery.
If Lee get to the final, Derek Beaumont's going to have a busy day. He'll be there as title sponsor in the Royal Box, and he'll also be there as one of the owners of the clubs. He'll be like juggling two things.
Look, right, me and Aaron have this debate a little bit. I'm massive on the championship, as you all know.
That don't mean I'm not.
No, I'm not once accused you if you are. I think that there should be scope for a decent-ish broadcast deal. Aaron isn't as convinced as I am. I'll let him explain in a minute. Just let me finish my point. Unfortunately, when the only sponsor you can get for the big championship competition is the company of one of the club owners, it doesn't particularly fill you with confidence about how lucrative the championship actually is.
It's been a slow start for the 1895 Cup. I think we can all agree with its editors.
It's a good concept.
To get a sponsor at this stage of the competition's history isn't necessarily a bad
thing. It's a good
thing.
Concept that's not being executed well. Because the season's so long, we try to fit it in. Yeah. Great. I think we all thought it was a fantastic idea. We've got a situation where there are three games on Wednesday.
Yeah.
You've got Halifax and Bradford playing Wednesday after playing Sunday.
And they're playing
at Cougar Park.
Playing the kids.
They're playing reserves and
so
young kids.
So, effectively, it's right at the bottom of their priority list.
Probably going out.
And I don't think they'd want it to be that way, but it's just the nature of the situation.
That said, the League Cup is in football's pretty similar, and that's a good way of blooding youth
players. But the reality of the situation is, the League Cup, the Premier, you still have a... It's still only going to be Premier League teams that make Wembley. On the whole, he says, with Bradford City fan Aaron Bauer next to him.
2013.
But on the whole, that was a fluke, wasn't it?
Not really, a freak
sequence.
Three Premier League teams,
mate. This, for Bradford and Halifax, they're two of the favourites to make the final. Yeah. And they're basically saying, nah, sorry.
I'm intrigued.
Well, it gives somebody else a chance, doesn't it?
I'm not surprised Halifax have completely rolled the decks because
they've got a big game this weekend, Bradford. I do get
John Keir's point about Sunday, you know, that, and he was very vocal about it in the press conference on Sunday, and by no means he was being a bad loser, was he, Matt?
No.
He was first thing he said was
very gracious.
You know, congratulations Halifax, but he said if there's a massive taboo in Super League between making teams play Sunday Thursday to such an extent that they don't do it. Well, we're having to play Sunday, Wednesday, so what's the deal here?
With part-time players.
I just thought Bradford might have gambled on a few more just to try and get there, because they've, you know, for Halifax,
the problem is it is more financially lucrative to make the top five.
Well, isn't it true that there is no prize money for winning this cup?
Yeah, which is crazy, isn't it, really?
You're going to prioritise the top five.
The fact is that this cup was created simply to get more fans in at Wembley.
Yeah.
The RFL will have been hoping, I'm fairly sure, that the final would be between Bradford and either Lee or Widnes.
Yeah,
That's what they were hoping. Those three teams.
So maybe Fevert a push, but yeah.
So I suppose now, you know, they're probably hoping it'll be Lee and Widnes, presumably.
Because Bradford are probably... Well, as we say this...
If Bradford
you listen
do
to this
go
on
out.
Thursday and Bradford have won. But
yeah, well,
the,
exactly.
They probably will go out at Barrow. It's not the nicest trip to make on a weekend, is it? You know, let alone on a Wednesday night.
But like Martin said, it's a fantastic opportunity now for the likes of Sheffield
and York.
York, Fev, or Widnes, Lee.
Yeah.
They suddenly become the huge, you know, there's a huge opportunity to get to Wembley.
The prize money thing's the thing which we've found out about this week, haven't we? And it's quite sad, really. But it's year one of the cup, isn't it?
I was going to say it's one of them things that can be improved.
Where's the sponsors? Where's the sponsors' money going now? The winners get some of that, don't they? I don't know. That's a question we need to ask.
Who knows? Interesting thing about the Wembley weekend this year is that the East Coast Main Line will be shut down apparently on that day. For engineering work.
Wait, St. Helens v. Warrington.
Yeah, but people try to get there from Brighouse.
The other thing, if Hull get there, there is a bit of talk that Luke Campbell could be fighting in London that weekend. So if Hull are in the final and Luke Campbell is fighting at, I assume, Wembley Arena, maybe Copper Box, it's going to be one heck of a weekend to be from Hull, isn't it? I would just wonder if that'll get a few extra people down there, to go watch the Campbell fight as well, maybe. Who knows?
I was mentioning actually who got through to the third round of the 1895 Cup, sponsored by AB Sundex. We've got Battley, who kicked out Rochdale. Lee knocked out League One opposition in the form of Workington, as did York, who navigated themselves past Newcastle. While there will be a League One side in the next round, Doncaster defeated Oldham.
Good on him.
And Dewsbury avenged their defeat in the league the week earlier by beating Swinton Lions by 44 points to 26.
I would love it if Dewsbury got to Wembley just for Stephen Downes and the video that would come following.
Yes.
Oh, it'd be sensational, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Stephen listens to this show, so I'd suggest doing it straight from the tube stop all the way down. Piece to camera, no break or anything, just straight one take all the way.
Oh, that was a great video on the Our League app, by the way.
Yes.
Really showcased how the game below Super League can't really survive without volunteers and people who give up their time for free.
Absolutely.
So good on him.
Well, speaking of the Swinton Lions, Swinton will be hosting Toronto on Sunday afternoon, and that'll be live on Sky. And the boat is well and truly being pushed out here on this one. Reduced admission, a live band, family fun day, two local junior sides playing, a curtain raiser, and a lot more emphasis on the city of Manchester. And to find out more, on Tuesday, I caught up with Swinton Lions chairman, is Andy Mazer.
We're making a big occasion of this this game on Sunday, and it's not just a game; it's an event. It's a match day event. It's targeting the families, getting families and young people on board, and getting pushing it across the Manchester community and as wide and far as we can do, really. And with the ultimate aim of growing not just our brand, but the whole sport.
We'll come back to the Swinton equation in a second, but Toronto, it's weird, isn't it? A lot of people say, oh, what do they bring to the game and all this? They don't bring that many away fans. I'm sorry, Sandy, I know you go to games. But the name Toronto Wolfpack, every single club that welcomes them seems to, raise their game when it comes to the marketing side of it. I mean, it's that they are bringing a lot to the league and a lot to the sport.
Definitely. I think the expansion of the game is, it's nothing new, is it? There's been Toronto for a few years established now, and it's the way that the sport seems to be going. And globalisation is an opportunity to ultimately, the big cities and the bright lights and everything that comes with those things, it's an opportunity for us to cast our sport into a different light, isn't it?
Absolutely. And like you said, I mean, the promotion side of things, we're interviewing you. You're about to do an interview for a local TV channel. This is an opportunity as well to put Swinton in the spotlight.
It is. I mean, the two things that strike me is that, and when we talk about doing TV shows, I was on a show recently with Martin Sadler and a couple of other guests, and Martin actually pointed out something to me, which we probably already knew, but highlighted it anyway. And he said that when we were over in Toronto, it came across very clear in the press that Toronto were actually labelling us as Manchester Swinton Lions. And, we have got an advantage, I believe, in the fact that we are a Manchester club. There's been a lot of talk over the years about Manchester needing to be an area that the game needs a team that can grow in that city. And it's a massive global city with a sporting reputation second to none with the two football clubs and everything that goes with it. And I think it is crying out for a club, really, to get established in Manchester that can add professional rugby league to that portfolio.
And you've said this in the press as well. This is a game against featuring two great cities in Toronto and Manchester. And that does lead me to that balancing act that you as the chairman of the Swinton Lions has to do, because, you put Manchester on the badge there, and it is a fine line balancing that tradition, the history, the great history of the Swinton Lions, and looking to the future and those potential, avenues for growing the club.
It's a very fine line, Ben, and there's obviously, there will be eyebrows raised that we're talking about Manchester. But ultimately, you know, we've, as a board, we've got a duty to the history and heritage of our club to protect that at, you know, at all costs. And we're very proud of the fact that we've won six league championships and we've got 150 years of, you know, relevant history in the sport. And, you know, we may not have, over the last few decades, you know, we've fallen away and we've left our own town and not returned as yet. But, you know, we won't sell out on the club and we are proud of everything that's gone before. But ultimately, we do have to find a way forward. And, you know, the uncertain times over the television contract ending in 2021 and potentially, you know, all signs are pointing towards the fact that the TV money will at least decrease, if not go altogether. And we've got to be able to fund a club and move a club forward. And ultimately to do that, you know, we need exposure in a bigger market. And you know, ultimately we've got to be attractive to broadcasters. We've got to be attractive to commercial partners. And you know, to do that, I think we just need to sort of have the right brand. And Manchester fits in with our brand as the Lions, doesn't it?
How far down the track are you with this path that you're going down?
At the moment, it's at board level and we're discussing options, you know, and everything, because we set out with a plan a couple of years ago, and it's fair to say that the landscape's changed within that time. And ultimately, you know, no plan is ever from... it's never going to follow exactly along the path that you believed you'd set out with. And ultimately, we've got to adapt to the changes in the sport generally. So at the stage we are now, we're looking at options, you know, and we're looking at the way forward. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, there's a lot of variables to deal with. But it is all, well, there's no decisions made and we're not going to radically change anything overnight. But ultimately, we've got to, you know, we have got to find the direction we want to take beyond 2020 and going into the sort of potentially exciting times, I believe, of 2021 onwards, when clubs, ultimately, the ones that can swim will swim. And you know, we've not got to be one of those that ultimately sinks. We've got to swim, haven't we?
And well, that takes us to the immediate future and this weekend. Sunday night at Haywood Road, adults £5, under 16s totally free. Loads of stuff going on beforehand, schoolboy rugby league as well as a curtain raiser. Which clubs are taking part in the curtain raiser, and what else can people look forward to in the afternoon beforehand and the match itself?
We've got a couple of local community clubs in Colchester Eagles, and got Folly Lane playing down there as well, so that's something to look forward to. And obviously the Folly Lane club is obviously very close to our hearts in Swinton, so that's an event that we're all looking forward to get those juniors out there playing. There's all sorts going on, to be honest. We've got dances. It'd be easy for me to tell you what's not happening in Sale on Sunday rather than what is. It's all roads lead to Sale on Sunday. And I think the promotion that our guys have come up with, the commercial and media team, has been absolutely fantastic. We're getting a lot of support on it. I think the fact that we've, you know, we're investing in growing the sport by reducing the prices, and you know, ultimately we want to get more people, more eyeballs on what we're doing, and get a lot of people through the gate and just enjoying what, you know, what the fantastic product we have in rugby league is all about. It's a great game, and not enough people watch it, and we've taken it on ourselves really to try and get to try and rectify that and get people through the gate. And you know, people, hopefully, you know, a percentage of those people that come on Sunday, we're expecting a big crowd. They go away and they enjoy it and they come back again then, don't they?
Exactly. And I should say, for those people, you know, listening in the Manchester area, I've seen Swinton play three times this season, and each time it's been an absolute cracker. The Summer Bash against Rochdale, the Toulouse match and the Dewsbury match a couple of weeks ago. You know, absolute superb games of rugby. And hoping for the same from Stuart Little's side this weekend?
Definitely. I think everybody knows what a sizable challenge to run so brilliant. And you know, it's a tough old ask, but certainly, you know, I know our guys look at these games as an opportunity. You know, the sky cam will be on them, the opportunity to showcase the talents and show what they're all about on a personal level, but also collectively as a team. And I think, like you say, you know, we believe that the style of rugby that Stuart implements here is very much, you know, when it clicks, it clicks, and we believe that we can cause anybody problems. So while we don't, well, we understand the size of the task in Toronto, you know, we embrace it and we look forward to it, and it's a challenge that we really can't wait for now.
Andy Maisie there, chairman of the Swinton Lions. It is a tightrope that Swinton have to walk, I think I'm right in saying here, for the future with this Manchester thing.
Yeah, I mean, they've not made any decisions yet about the future of the club, you know, but officially, I think their official position is still that they want to go back to Swinton and develop this stadium at Agecroft with, is it Moorside Rangers?
Yeah,
the junior football club. I'm not sure how big such a stadium would be, if we're really honest about it, and how suitable it would be for them. But the alternative that Andy seems to be considering more and more and more is becoming a Manchester-based club and being called Manchester, even if it's being called Manchester Swinton, I would guess. That looks like a potential possibility. And then maybe, who knows, moving to the Manchester Arena, which was the Manchester Rangers' home ground, wasn't it? So it's all a bit up in the air still, but they seem to be moving in that direction.
Is it
Although, actually, having said that, I think their stadium in Sale
is pretty good,
yeah. I don't see any problems with it, really, to be honest.
Is this the ultimate direction of travel, really, when we're talking about Toronto, Ottawa and New York joining that, you know?
Cities, isn't it? It's you know, with that, you know, I'm not
Maurice Lindsay ultimately right,
yeah, well,
20 years later.
In a roundabout way, not entirely, but in a roundabout way, they would imagine the future of the game and the growth of the game is in cities, isn't it? And Swinton are very fortunate; they've got one of the biggest cities in Europe on their doorstep in
Salford. Carry on. Well, sorry, I interrupted.
Manchester's slightly bigger, but yeah, they're doing some very good things at Swinton, and like Martin says, if that's the eventual goal to get into Manchester, then good luck to them. And I think there is a place for a Manchester presence. I thought Manchester Rangers were that presence.
So did I.
Don't look like it's going to be them. So no. Swinton are going to, you know, if Swinton get the gig, I'm sure they'll make a good job of it. But in terms of this season, they're 3 points clear of the bottom two. I think everyone had them in Rochdale as Stonewall relegation candidates and everyone else was just playing for the top five. But, God, if they stay up, that's a massive achievement by Swinton. And I like Andy Maisie, shrewd operator.
Yeah, I like Andy Maisie. Good work.
And just before we go, off the Championship, just a quick mention for York v to lose this weekend. That's on Saturday. That's
on our league.
No, it's going to be Doncaster.
Yeah, our league it's the late game in League One, yeah. Doncaster, Oldham.
You know, York v to lose, that's a pretty big game for the Championship.
Yeah, is that second v third as well?
Is, what time's that at?
3 o'clock, I think.
I might go.
Not on Sunday.
Saturday.
Is it?
Yeah,
I might go. That's nearly it for the show, but matters arising just before we go. We started off by talking about the Challenge Cup. Bit of good news. Red Star Belgrade have been invited back.
Do they have to pay a bond?
I think that might come later, surely. they might be able to afford it, actually, because Red Star are playing... there's a talk of Red Star playing Partizan in Sydney.
There's a lot of Serbian connections in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a big, big game, that. So there is potential, definitely, in Serbia, isn't there? And a big mention as well for Thursday night's match this week between Bradford and the Castleford Tigers, which is taking place in the Women's Super League. That's going to be played at Oddsall, and they're hoping for a big crowd at that one. Cracking. Just before we go, any other business? Rugby League World is out.
It is. Top 20 forwards. Countdown. We asked some of the great backs from the Super League era and some of the greatest journalists of the Super League era, but I cast a vote, so that doesn't apply. There's quite a lot in there, actually. You mentioned that interview with Jermaine McGilvery, which is really, really good. Eddie Batty on his sandwich scoffing exploits. I mean, for me, all the international stuff at the back's just amazing. You just don't get stories like that anywhere else in the Rugby League press. So for me, it's worth that alone.
And on the subscription page, which I think is the first page, that picture of the new camp there, it's pretty good, isn't it, really?
It's a good photo.
I was going to say, actually, you can't get away with signs like that because UEFA stopped them from having signs like that. But Rugby League has no problems with those kinds of political interventions, do they? What else is happening? Back chat on Thursday.
Yeah, Matt Diskin's on, along with Ryan Carr and Martin. Matt Diskin were really good value.
Yeah, really worth listening to.
I like Ryan Carr as well.
Yeah, good bloke.
Very good.
Good bloke.
Really good guy.
Talks a lot of sense. Mm.
Any other business from your neck of the woods, Aaron, and The Guardian coming up, anything?
Not really.
Thank you. oh, dear. And League Express on Monday, Martin?
Loads of coverage of absolutely everything that's going on. At the moment, I don't know precisely what that will be, though, because obviously it tends to get put together in the next 2 or 3 days. So
lots of transfer talk, I'd imagine.
Unmissable, yeah, absolutely. If you want to know, actually, I'm really keen to know who that guy going to Salford is that Aaron mentioned earlier. So I'll be buying it for that.
Well, Aaron Barrow, big thank you for joining us. Matthew Shaw, always a pleasure. Martin Sadler, thank you for coming on the show. And wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye bye.